Welcome to the show. Your host, David Yanis, is here ready to get this show rolling and moving. We're excited about what God is doing. I'm excited that I can spend a few minutes just with my brother and just spend some time with him experiencing this new format that we're doing. And what we're trying to do is get people out there to believe. It takes faith. Yes, it takes faith, but there's something down in you that has to believe. Like I shared on the last show, I get a lot of people that come up, and brother, I got to tell you, I lay hands on a whole bunch of people, and I can feel faith when people got faith, but there's sometimes I lay hands on people that have been in church a long time, and I can speak to that because I have family members that's been in church a long time, and they're here at my building, and they could not get what they had. Now, the Bible says this. The Bible says this, the same gospel is preached unto them as unto me, but it wasn't mixed with faith. And I'm paraphrasing it. It wasn't mixed with faith. You got to get the word of God and believe it for yourself. I believe that's what the word means, is you got to believe it for yourself. You got to accept it.
I had an experience when I was 18 years old. I'm married young. And I was at a motel. My new wife and I in Brownsville, Texas. My father was doing services at a local church, and I was there to lead the worship and praise. And I got a sore throat. And I mean, it was big time sore throat. I would pray before the services to God, please help me get through this. And I'd get some relief long enough to lead worship and follow the service. I mean, it would close up tight again. I could hardly swallow. Most everybody's experienced something like that at one time or another in your life. And that went on for two nights. And I got back to the motel. I couldn't hardly eat, couldn't hardly drink anything. Just have to kind of guzzle it down like a chicken does. Hold my head back. And I was laying in the bed and I was reading in the book of John. Got to chapter 14. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I came to that portion where Jesus was talking to his disciples in a private setting, and he was telling them, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it." I laid my Bible down on my stomach. And as I said, I was just getting started. And I started to say, "Father, heal my throat in Jesus' name." And instantly, the thought cropped up in my mind. Wait a minute. What if he doesn't do that? You are so into what you're reading. I was laying there with tears running down out my eyes and in my ears, and I was just like I was there with Jesus and the disciples. Nothing going on around me. Wife was asleep. And when I started to ask the Lord to heal my throat, that cropped up. And it was so clear in my mind that if he didn't do it, I'd never believe that Bible again. I mean, I was to that point. So rather than take that chance, Brother David, I decided to just keep the sore throat and just go on and keep reading and enjoying the Lord's blessings. Mm. And two verses down, Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name and I'll do it." Well, the challenge was on me. Mm-hmm. I laid my Bible down on my bed and I thought, okay, either this is going to work and Jesus is who he says he is and he's still alive. He still does miracles today, and he loves me enough to hear me pray. Now's the time. if I'm ever going to do anything for God, I'm going to have to learn it right now. Will he answer my prayer? And so I just simply said, Jesus, would you heal my throat? And I instantly swallowed. I didn't give it time. I instantly swallowed, and it was gone. Instantly gone. I jumped out of that bed. I was hollering and praising God. My wife didn't know what was happening, woke her up. And the thing that I'm telling this story for is not just that you can expect God to do miracles, but I had my spiritual life on the line. I'd either believe it and get it from God, or if I didn't, I would have never believed it, and I wouldn't have gone into ministry. I knew it right there. So that is why I was so happy. I knew that God would answer prayer and do what I asked him to do. I learned it there.
Amen. Amen. And you got to believe. You got to believe God can do something. Even the smallest things or the biggest things. I've learned one thing from T.O. Osborne studying him, and he said all sickness is the same. All sickness. It's all a spirit of infirmity. A. Allen said the same thing, or Robert says the same thing, that it's all a spirit of infirmity, whether it's a cold or whether it's cancer. God can heal it. Now, they're not saying you're going to go through the same feelings and hurt and the body breaking down, but it all comes to a disease of a spirit, an infirmity, and casting it away and make it and getting the sickness away from you. And when I look at the people that are there that come up and they leave, and I'm not the only service that happens. I guarantee you that there's several services. In fact, I've been in many services where people walk away disappointed and sad that they didn't get their miracle. First of all, you look to Jesus. You look to Jesus for the healing. You look to Jesus for him to touch you. You don't look at the man of God. You look at Jesus. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that said, if you come up to the altar and you looked at me, you might as well go back and sit down. But if you come up to the altar and you trust that God will do it and the prayer of faith is done, then God will do it. God will make something happen. And I know that I sound excited about these things and excited about miracles, excited about what God is doing, because I am. Because right now, I tell you what, the Bible says that it'll be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah on the end of times. It'll be times that there's not going to be much belief in miracles. You know why? When Jesus was crucified, he did all the miracles, but they still crucified him. He healed thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions. I don't know. He healed. But they still killed him. The belief of day of miracles have seemed to pass in a way. And it's sad because at any time that we're living in, today is a day that we need miracles. We need God to answer how to answer the things that we cry out to him. And he does. He hears our prayers.
Well, the truth is, what we preach should be what we believe in our heart. And if it is, what we preach is what we see begin to develop among the people. I know God anointed me and quickened me to preach on finances. And when I started concentrating on that, I started seeing things happen in the churches. There were, at the last count, there were 13 churches that had gotten out of debt.
Amen.
On a plan that God gave me that I instituted in those churches. And God did his part and brought the churches completely out of debt when the message that I preached reached their heart. So what we preach, what we teach, that's what we see come to pass. One reason why we don't have a lot of miracles like you're talking about anymore is because I've noticed that there are not too many ministers around like you anymore. They don't preach this. They don't walk in it. They don't expect it. They teach on, you know, family life, which is nothing wrong
with it. Yeah, that's true.
They teach on, various ways, you know, how to elevate your lifestyle and how to overcome, you know, family problems and marital problems and how to be strong you know, and I mean, we hear that a lot. There's nothing wrong with all that, but we don't hear much teaching and preaching on miracles for healing, miracles for financial breakthroughs. We don't see too much of that. Mm. So that's why I thank God for you, and that's why I'm here today, because I do believe in what God, and what you're in your anointing. I've seen it on you. I watched it.
Amen. Amen. And hey, we just got our new CDs in, and if you haven't seen them, Gerald, you can share a little bit about the CDs. He listened to them. I got to get him a new CD one because it didn't work. But I did test the other ones, Brother Gerald, and they did work. So I think it was just a bad little CD there.
Yeah, you did a series. Did you? I'm not sure. Did you title that series Whosoever, Whatsoever?
It was titled Igniter of Faith, but then there were several healing services in the CDs.
Yeah, I know you talked about that message, and it really spoke to me because of the power that was in it. Whatsoever you believe and ask in my name, and whosoever shall ask, and you put those two together and emphasize whosoever, whatsoever, and in that series, I realized then that we had a ministry that God has quickened, anointed, chosen, and has brought you along and blessed you. You know, your offices here are increasing. You're growing in your equipment. It's God. And I really encourage people to stand with you.
Amen. Now, if you want the CDs, you can always visit our website, davidyanisministries.net. And visit there, or go straight to davidyanisministries.org. It goes straight to our bookstore, and you can get whatever you want. And Brother Gerald's books are there as well. And we're going to see you just blessed. I can tell you this. Let me tell you a story that I had, and I feel that I should share this. your giving has to line up. You got to give for God to give back to you, but also, I've seen some people in their giving, when they were cheerful givers, miracles happened. Miracles happened because their faith believed that God was going to touch them. You have to buy into all of God's system, not just the parts you think. My wife is sharing with me today that one of her coworkers hates prosperity preachers, just hates them with a passion. And I'm like, you know what? You can disagree, but you shouldn't hate. You could always disagree, but you shouldn't hate. I mean, that's just something rooted inside that you got to deal with. And
well, you know, hate is wrong.
Yes, that's correct.
And if they're in hate, then they're going to be wrong in their believing.
Yes, that's true. That's true. They are. And yep. I mean, it's like they're always looking for. And you look at it. You look what happened recently on the Houston had a flood and a very popular church here, Lakewood, wasn't able to open up the doors right away. And there are so many people that attacked the poor young man, young man of faith, Pastor Joel. Good man, good family. Their family's done a lot for the city,
right,
above and beyond. And it was just this moment and this crisis. And what a lot of people didn't realize, he was in the soup bowl. And it used to be called the spaghetti bowl, but that's now the soup bowl, 610 area and 459. You couldn't get to the church at that time. And
well, they had flooding around it, too.
Yeah, and in the inside as well. Mm-hmm. But there were so many people that had things loaded up already. So many people with just hate, with anger, and Christian people. And this thing... If you're wondering why this Bible ain't working for you, and I'm a Texas boy, I use ain't. If you're wondering why it ain't working for you, you got to check where your belief system's at. The Bible says there's certain things we should think on, and I don't believe hate was one of them, but love, peace, joy, long-suffering, these things we need to think about. The fruit of the Spirit, we need to think on these things. Keep our heart pure. Now, when you're angry, it's hard to receive from God. When you're angry, it's hard to receive. I believe, was it Naaman in the Bible? The leader of the soldiers?
Right.
He was so mad. Get this. He was so mad that the prophet didn't come out himself. He was so angry that the prophet did not come and share with him and pray for him personally. But instead, he sent his assistant. I always get this name mixed up.
Gehazi.
He sent Gehazi to him. And angrily, he just rode off because he told him to go dip himself in the dirtiest river. And his servant, the captain's servant, Naaman's servant, was with him. And he said, surely, if he would have asked you to do something else bigger, you would have done it. Something harder, you would have done it. It seems so simple just to dip yourself in the river.
Yeah, just had to humble himself because that river was muddy.
Yeah, it was. It was, think of the dirtiest river in your area and 10 times it.
Had to humble himself.
But I tell you what, there was an anger there for a minute. There was a hostility there.
Well,
there
it was his pride.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And that's what made him angry.
Yes.
And, you know, pride goes before destruction every time.
Absolutely.
And a haughty spirit before a fall.
Amen.
And his servant bailed him out and checked his attitude.
Yes.
When he said, look, you know, if he told you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. But see, if he had done some great thing, then he would have had pride in it. But he had to get down humble before God and before the prophet and dip in that dirty, muddy water and do it 7 times before he ever saw any results.
Yes.
And I know there are times in my own life I had to just walk it out, not because I saw it, not because I smelled it, tasted, heard it, or could, you know, touch it. I just had to walk it out until something broke and released, and then the blessing came.
Absolutely.
So, you know, God didn't say he'd pay you on Saturday. He said he'd take care of you, but if you can walk it out in faith and trust him, if you can trust him, you will never be disappointed.
Amen. And look what happened with Naaman. He got healed from his leprosy. But God wanted to give him a healing. The prophet already blessed him. The prophet already blessed him and said, if you do this, you get healed. But pride, anger, hostility, that was keeping him from his blessings. And God has blessings for you. God has many blessings that you've already been blessed with. But if you have anger towards another man of God or towards God himself, then you're not going to get that blessing. When I was in Kenya, there was a lady, she prepared all this food for this huge buffet that they're going to have, and this company ordered it from her. Well, they never came and picked it up, and she borrowed from her friends. She took, like the Bible said, Bible shows in the stories, they took every pot and pan and borrowed it, and she cooked all her rent money up. She used her rent money to cook, and she went and did this. Well, the guy never showed up. She was so angry at this man and so disappointed. Now, when you get into anger, you open yourself to other things. And she went into a suicidal spirit. She went and got a knife, and she's walking to the soccer field to kill herself. She called her sister and said, hey, feed my children tonight because I won't be back. And she walked over there to the soccer field. And when she walked to the soccer field, she said, I'm going to kill myself here at the soccer field so they can find my body in the morning. And get this, right where she goes to the soccer field, there's a banner in my studio that's hanging on the wall. If you're in my studio, you'll see it's hanging on the back wall. And it's the banner that showed that this woman walked into before she killed herself. It was a banner of our healing service. And she's seen the healing service banner. And then she looked to the other side of the soccer field. And we're on that side of the soccer field. And we're praising God. And I was preaching the gospel. And God told me, go to forgiveness right away. I switched my sermon to forgiveness and said it's best to leave your gift at the altar and go and make peace with God, make peace with the man, and then come and present your gift to God. Because then God will bless it. And you can receive. And it's not only because God will bless it, it's because you can receive. Because you went and made peace, now you're a receptacle for God to touch and to God to minister to. So he went over there, and she went over there, and she received. And guess what? She forgave her brother, she forgave her father, she even forgave the man that got her so mad. Well, a few days later, we had testimony night, and when we had testimony night, guess what? She got up there and she testified about this. I grabbed my bag, told my security to bring my bag to me, threw shillings up there to her, and as soon as I did that, it was like that old show that we used to see, Price is Right. Everybody comes running down, throwing shillings at this woman's feet. I can tell you, Brother Gerald, I can tell you, audience, that I've seen a bucket pressed down, a 5-gallon yellow bucket pressed down, shaken together, and running over for this woman's needs. But it only came when she decided to forgive and get out of anger and go to forgiveness. And I tell you, she came back and testified again at the church service, though not the conference. She testified that she had enough money to pay everybody back, pay her rent for a year, pay her schooling for her kids for a year, and buy new business equipment. Now, that's what God does when we decide not to be angry and we decide to forgive and we become receptacle.
We must agree with God. I want to say this. When we read that Bible, we may not understand everything. I don't. And I've been studying it for 64 years. I don't understand, but I believe it all. I believe it all. If God loves something, I love it. If God hates something, I hate it.
Amen.
I agree with God. I always will. I don't have to understand it to agree with Him. I heard this in my spirit one time when I was laboring over something that I didn't understand. The Lord said, if you first believe it, you'll begin to understand it. But if you wait till you understand it, you'll never believe it.
That's amazing.
It's the truth. When you think about it, if you don't first believe it, you'll never get revelation on it. But if I determine to believe it, God begins to open up my understanding on it. Oh, I slapped myself on the forehead. Oh, I heard someone one time said, you know why so many Christians are hump-shouldered and flat-headed? Because somebody asked us a question about the Bible, we just shrug our shoulders, I don't know. Tell us the answer and we slap ourselves on the forehead.
Amen.
Anyway, so much for the funds.
Amen. Well, we'd like to see you at one of our healing services. I'm going to give you just a few dates. October 20th, we'll be here in our studio if you're here in the Atascocita or Humble area. Now, we've had people drive all the way from Austin and Dallas and San Antonio, and we even had someone come all the way from New Jersey to come out here to one of our healing services. And I tell you, that's faith when they come out like that. We also have one in Conroe. That's going to be on the 26th on a Thursday night at 7 p.m. The 20th is as well at 7 p.m. And we will be having a service in the what is it called? It is the Heather's Glen Chapel. We're going to be over there having a service on the Thursday, the 26th of this month, October. And the other service is in December. And that's going to be over there in Los Angeles. That'll be our fourth time back over there. And God is building something and doing something, and people are getting healed. But most of all, we're breaking through a very, very thick, thick barrier that's there against healing and healing ministries. In fact, I was told many of the people said on our last service last month was that they had to look all over online to find a place that would pray for the sick in Los Angeles. They had to keep looking online to find something. So be encouraged. We're just going out there. We're believing God is sending us, and we're going to the highways and the byways, and we're renting buildings, we're renting churches, we're renting hotel rooms just to have these services and believe that God's going to do something. Now, if you'd like to support our ministry, you can support it at DYM, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that's DYM, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325, and you can always visit our website at davidyanezministries.com or davidyanezministries.net. All right, and I'll tell you what, I enjoy having my brother here. Brother, you got a scripture for us or anything like that?
I will say the goodness of God rests upon those who are good to others.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to go to break with that. We'll be right back.
I hear many youth experts talking about the importance of giving our teenagers more freedoms to spread their wings and discover their place in the world. What I don't hear much of are the contingencies that ought to be in place before these freedoms are allowed to be enjoyed. Hi, I'm Trey Sembry with a Heads Up from Shepherd's Hill Farm. Why would I carte blanche give my teenager certain liberties simply because he's turned a certain chronological age? Parents need to determine if Junior's emotional and spiritual maturity are up to snuff to the freedoms his chronological maturity are expected to bring him. If not, parents need to reassess those freedoms. If Junior hasn't yet proved he can exercise self-restraint with a short leash, there's no reason to believe he won't hang himself with a long one. slowly feed him more rope as he responsibly handles the rope he's already been given.
Shepherd's Hill Farm is a Christ-centered, biblically-based outdoor therapeutic residency program and school for troubled teens. If your teen is heading down the wrong path, we can help. Contact Shepherd's Hill online at shfteens.org.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Understanding.
Could a virus make you fat? A new study suggests that being overweight might not be all your fault after all. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy, but it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Think twice before blaming yourself or someone else for being overweight. A new study suggests a common childhood virus could be the culprit. Researchers found that children exposed to adenovirus 36, an infection that causes short-term gastrointestinal and respiratory symptoms, weighed an average of 52 pounds more than children who were never infected. Researchers believe this fat virus increases the body's fat cells and makes it harder for the body to break down mature fat cells later. The result is that people affected by the virus store more fat overall. So go easy on the next overweight person you see. Diet and exercise may not work as well for them as they do for you. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. More news and information at KatherineAlbrecht.com.
And welcome back. We are excited about this new format and touching your lives. But I'm going to ask Brother Gerald just to pray right now for those that are listening and just for God to bless them and minister to them.
Father, we stand firm on thus saith the Lord. We know we can trust you. In God, we still trust. You're alive and you're ready to hear our prayer when we call. We lean on you now. I pray for each of these listeners that the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, those stripes that he bore, will flow toward them now. As they lay their hand upon, like their instrument there before them, and as upon a contact, like Brother Roberts used to teach, we believe that when we reach out to you, you reach out to us. Thank you now for your power to heal, flowing to the people who receive it. I pray, Father, for their financial life, for their married life. I pray, Father, for their families. Expose, Father, your goodness to them in all of these areas as they reach out to you and call on you, not looking to man, but to God. Thank you for hearing our prayer and for doing even more than we know to ask. Amen.
Amen, amen. And join us every Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday morning, depending on what time it is in your location, around 10:30, 11 o'clock. We will be broadcasting here on Rev Media TV and Midwatch channel and the Christian Talk channel. And we also archive these, and these get pushed around the world. I'm talking to about 60, 70,000 downloads in the last 2 years just of our messages and of different things. We have five different archive signals that we send out, and we're on iHeartRadio. That's iHeartRadio. And we're on iTunes. We're on Libsyn, Libsyn Pro. We're, of course, on Facebook and Twitter and those places. So you're able to capture it there and listen to it. And I guarantee if you share this, someone's going to be blessed. Someone's going to be blessed if you continue to share. Remember, our address is P.O. Box, DYM, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can always reach out to us through email, and you can find that email on at davidyannisministries.net. We want to tell you, Brother Gerald, we appreciate you joining forces here and just being a blessing, and we thank you for being on the show with us, my brother.
It is my privilege and pleasure. Thank you, David.
And you can visit his website at geralddavis.org. We'll catch you next time on The Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.